Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's just pray, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, once again, we give you thanks to be able to come into this place, Father, in service unto Thee. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we're able to worship you in spirit and in truth. We pray tonight, Father, that indeed, once again, by your grace and by your mercy and through your faithfulness, you'll indeed just meet with us tonight. Help us, Lord, just to get into the channel, Lord, to get into the flow, Father, to allow the Holy Spirit, Lord, to just to be able to minister to each one of our hearts, Lord, our minds, our bodies, souls, and spirits tonight, Father. Lord, just remove any hindrances, Lord, any obstacles, anything that's in the way, Father. Lord, help us to just lay it aside, Father, and just allow the flow of the Holy Ghost, Lord, we pray. Lord, we look to you tonight, Father, for we realize that our help cometh from the Lord. Yes. And that without your help, Lord, without your strength, without your guidance, without that leadership, Lord, we would utterly fail. Well, we realize, Father, that this word was written by holy men of God that were moved by the Holy Ghost. It was preached with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Lord, it can only be received, Lord, when the Holy Ghost enlightens that word to our hearts, Father. And so tonight we just invite you, Lord, to have complete and total control, even in this service where we've gathered again, Lord. We pray, God, Lord, just have the preeminence, Father. And Lord, we just want to commit all things to you now, in and through the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Praise God. Is it just me or is everybody tired? I realize I'm no spring chicken anymore. I just, you hear Brother Aaron talk about being past 50 the second time. And I know what he means now. So, there's not too much of me left anyway, so I'm just kind of running empty, but we'll trust the Lord tonight that he'll just help us once again, that he'll speak to us and be with us. And it's always a privilege, it's always a blessing to come and preach from the Word of God and to preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So, while we're standing, I'd like you to turn, please, into the book of Judges, chapter 16. And we'll take our reading from beginning at verse 15. And we'll read down to verse 22. But maybe when you get home, you'll have the opportunity, when you read your Bible, it'd be good if you could just read that whole chapter. But to save a little time, we'll just take it from verse 15 and down to verse 22. Praise the Lord. I want to speak tonight on the subject of the last days of Samson. Amen. Verse 15. And she said unto him, How canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak, and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, Come up this once, for he hath shown me all his heart. And then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before, and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Amen. The Lord bless the reading of his word. Please take your seats. Amen. So, we just want to speak for a few moments on the subject of the last days of Samson. You know, you can take the life of Samson and you can put it in, you can split it into two parts. First, you can look at a life that went from success and from victory down to humiliating defeat. That was the first part of his life. You know, the Bible tells us of Samson how that he was raised up by God with a special calling of God. The angel came to his parents and told them how that he was to be raised, how he was to be taken care of, and that God was going to use him to bring deliverance for the people of God. You see, the people of God have always needed deliverance. We go through the book of Judges and we see through the cycle of the book of Judges, it's a perfect type of the church ages. There were seven captive, or the seven servitudes where Israel were brought into bondage by their enemies. And it just seemed to be that no matter when Israel came in the promised land, after a while they were serving God, and there was a fear of God and a respect for God, but there came a place and there came a time when their hearts grew cold and grew indifferent, and they were led away from God to serve false gods and false idols. And when they did that, God allowed the enemy to come in there to chastise them, to bring judgment upon them. When that took place, those people began to call upon the name of the Lord. And when they did that, God in his mercy looked down upon those people and would raise up a deliverer to go to the people and bring deliverance to them. It's a perfect picture of the church. It's always been the cycle of the church that no matter what God has done for the church, no matter how many revivals or visitations God has done for his church and for his people, after that revival begins to die down or go quiet, eventually the people get cold and begin to move away from God. It's always been the way, and God has had to send revival. You see, the church has always needed to have revival. The church has always needed to have a visitation from God. And I say today, and it's not popular to say amongst many, many people, but I stand by this statement, that if ever there was a time that we needed a move of God, if ever there was a time we needed a revival, it's today. Amen. You know, people talk about God sending a prophet and the great things he did in that ministry. But listen, friends, that was 50 years ago. We're way down the road now, friends, and we just are desperately in need of a move of God. We can't live on something that happened 50 years ago. We thank God for what that's just like accusing the Pentecostals of doing what they did. That's just like accusing the Methodists of doing what they did. But we just don't want to be living on something that God has done. We want to be living in something God is doing. And so it's no longer just a desire for the church. It's no longer a desire for the people. I believe it is a great need in the church. And as I was mentioning, I believe it was last night there, we have to recognize there is a need. Because until we recognize there's a need, there's not very much God can do for us. One thing about Israel, we can look at the backslidings and we can look at the sin and all the rest of it. But one thing Israel could do is they could repent. One thing Israel could do is they could acknowledge their sins and come before God. And God respected that. You see, it's not about the sin. It's not about the backsliding. It's what you do about the sin. It's what you do about the backsliding. You see, God exhorted and told Israel, just humble yourself. Just acknowledge that you're wrong. And when Israel did that, then God could raise up a deliverer. God could send something to them to set the people free. But the problem was, with Israel sinning and with Israel's backsliding, the more it went on, the harder their hearts got. The harder their conscience got. And it got to a place eventually where their sin took them out of the promised land. And you see, there's a thing with sin, there's a thing with backsliding. It hardens the heart of people. It hardens the conscience until it gets to a place that we're no longer open to what the Spirit's saying to the church. That we can get to a place where we can become so calloused over. That's why I pray, oh God, keep me soft. Yes. Give me a soft spirit to be sensitive to what the Spirit's saying to the church. I don't want to get to a place in my life and in my walk with God that it's for everybody else, it's not for me. You see, Israel were okay when the prophets were being raised up and they were rebuking the Philistines or they were rebuking the nations around them. The Egyptians or the Syrians or the Babylonians. That was fine. But when the prophets came and brought the word of the Lord against Israel, that's where they had a problem with. That's how they persecuted the prophets. Amen. It's the same thing in the church. It's okay when the Methodists are getting a blasting. It's okay when the Baptists are getting a blasting for being a denomination. It's okay when the Pentecostals are getting a blasting for being a denomination. But when we find that very thing come amongst us, that's the problem. Amen. You see, and then we need to recognize that and acknowledge that that is a problem.
You see, it's okay when it's sent to everybody else, but one day it knocks at our door. And I believe we've got to just do the same thing, just like Israel did, is humble themselves before God. And come before God with a broken and with a contrite spirit and call upon the name of the Lord. And God, in His mercy, will bring a deliverance. You see, I really believe that as people of God, we can always come back to God.
Amen.
That there's always a way back to God. We're His children, and there's always a way back to come back to the Father. But when we get to a place that we become hardened, when we get to a place where we become calloused over, and we're no longer hearing what the Spirit is trying to say to us, or we're not allowing the Holy Ghost to deal with us, that's when there gets a problem. That's when the Holy Ghost just leaves it. That's what happened with Israel. They got to a place where they were no longer open to the rebuke of God or the conviction of God through those judges that He was raising up there. And the only thing God could do was allow them to go over into captivity. And that captivity is continuing even to this day. And we see the same thing in the church. When it gets to a place where we do not want to receive what the Spirit... You know, the Bible tells us through those seven church ages, if any man has an ear, let him hear... what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Praise the Lord. So it's what the Spirit's saying to the churches. I've made that statement many times, but I believe I'll make it again. You know, we look at the church ages. That wasn't a history lesson. That was the Holy Ghost trying to show you and to show each one of us there, this is what happens when you get away from the leadership of the Holy Ghost. This is what happens when man comes in and takes over the running of the church and the control of the church, and we start to raise up ministries and men that are not sent by the Holy Ghost. You see, the church goes from being a church, it was at Pentecost, down to something that plumbed the very depths, according to the Scripture, the very depths of Satan. So the Holy Ghost is trying to show us something and teach us a lesson that we don't want to go that way. We want to be under the leadership of the Holy Ghost. We want to be under the direction of the Holy Ghost. And the great desire, the great need of the church isn't for success, it's not for wealth, it's not for great numbers now, but it's to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. You know, Brother Ram said, the dynamics of this church will be a refilling of the Holy Ghost. I'm looking for it. Praise the Lord, because I recognize there's a need for it. Oh, there's a great need in the church today. And it just seems to be that just like Samson, once again we need another shaking. Amen. You see, it's not out there that needs a shaking. It's over in the kingdom. There needs to be a shaking. Praise the Lord. Amen. I believe it's coming. And I believe it's going to be a shock to a lot of people. But I just pray, God, let me be sensitive to what the Spirit's saying. Let me be open to Your Holy Spirit. Let me be subject to the dealing of Your Holy Spirit in my life. Praise be to God. So Samson, he began in a great way with great success. The Bible tells us then, as a young man, he would walk out in those fields and the Spirit of God began to stir him at times between the camp of Dan and Eshtahol. See, Samson knew that he was raised up by God to bring deliverance to those people. And I like that. You know, I guess when Samson was walking out there, looking around and seeing the Philistines over in his land, seeing the things they were doing, and the persecutions he was bringing against his people, I just believe there was just... God had designed Samson in such a way. Amen. God designed Samson. You know, there's something about the anointing of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
There's something about the anointing of the Holy Ghost. That when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against
Amen.
It. I believe Samson was just made in such a way there that when he saw the affliction these Philistines were bringing upon his people, when he saw the persecution, when he saw the oppression, it just brought down the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And God's going to have a church in this last day.
Amen.
God's going to have a people today that when the enemy comes in like a flood, there are going to be people that when that comes, it's going to bring down the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. To bring deliverance to the people of God, to bring deliverance to His church. Amen. So Samson being out there in that wilderness, thinking on these things, that would just bring the Spirit of God will begin to stir him. Now it was okay for those rabbis and those Pharisees and those priests to talk about the good old days. It was okay to talk about the days that God had delivered them out of Egypt and about the prophet Moses and about the great servants of God that had been raised up to deliver Israel. Well, the Philistines didn't mind that. That was okay. You could talk about those things. You could have your synagogue. You could have your worship. You could talk about the things that God had done. Mm-hmm. But the problem was, they see, because the Philistines, that was okay to talk about those days, but the Philistines were oppressing the people today. And Samson was being moved by the Holy Ghost to bring that deliverance now. Not something that happened 50 or 40 years ago now, but the Spirit of God, hallelujah, the Spirit of God began to move him at times between the camp. Praise God. I tell you, church, we need the Holy Ghost to start to move the church. Amen. The Holy Ghost to start to move the church once again. Another rabbi could talk about the great coming down the street was the tramp, tramp, tramp of the Philistines. They were already in the land. Or you could talk about those things that God had done. But there was a man in the land that was anointed with the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. There was a man in the land that was anointed with the Holy Ghost. And you know, Sonny, here's the tragic thing about it. Those people had got so used to living under the control of those Philistines. Those people had got so used to living that way, they got used to it. It became an acceptable way. Oh, that's not a picture of the church today. Well, they had every excuse there was. It got so bad that when Samson was doing the things he was doing and trying to bring deliverance to his people under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, even his own brethren, his own people said, "Samson, we can't allow this to go on. We're going to bind you." You imagine somebody, a people of God, trying to bind the very thing that was sent to them. The very thing that was sent to bring deliverance to those people. And those very people were trying to bind that thing. I tell you, church, things haven't changed too much. The very thing God's trying to send to the church is the very thing the church doesn't want to receive. The very anointing that comes into the church to set the people free is the very thing people want out of the church.
Yes, amen.
Without that anointing, there's no deliverance.
Amen.
The Bible says, by the anointing, the yoke is destroyed.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Amen.
So Samson had these great victories. All he could do, he could slay a lion. He could kill 1,000 with the jawbone of an ass. He could do great things that God was doing with him. But he got to a place where in his heart, he got to a place where it became just a little bit too commonplace. And he thought he could get by with doing just anything he wanted to do. And it came to a place one time that he came to a place of defeat. Like I say, Samson's life can be divided into two places. His first part of his life was victory, but it went down to a humiliating defeat. The second part of Samson's life went from humiliating defeat to victory. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And I tell you, church, I want to be in that place. Regardless of my condition now, I want to come to a place of victory in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
A victory. And see his church rise up, regardless of the defeat, regardless of the oppression, regardless of what the enemy is doing today. I want to see the church of Jesus Christ. I want to see the people of Jesus Christ rise up and see a deliverance. Praise the Lord. Now I'm preaching about the last days of Samson. Here's the question. When did Samson's last days begin? When did the last days of Samson begin? Now we can read through the scripture there and look. I asked the question, was it when he met Delilah? We read over in chapter 16, you look at verse 4, and it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. It's interesting, Delilah means feeble or languishing. And Sorek means vine or a choice vine. Delilah being a type of a church. We know the woman types the church, of course. But this church was drawing its life from another vine. And as a result, it was feeble and languishing. But Samson got around Delilah. But I don't believe that Samson's last days began then. See, even then, when Samson hung around Delilah, he had a chance, he had a chance to come back, to pull himself back from the brink. Hallelujah. I believe there was still a chance. I believe God, by his Spirit, was still warning Samson and telling Samson to get back. And I believe in that time there was a chance for Samson to come back. I don't believe then that he crossed the line. I don't believe then that his last days began. Also tells us, us that when Samson laid in the lap of Delilah and she called from a man out of a church there, maybe called for some preacher to come and shave off his hair there, take away his power. What a perfect picture of today, how so many preachers are shaving off the power of the church, are shaving off the anointing of the Holy Ghost from out of the church, are putting the anointing of the Holy Ghost under one man or under one ministry, and are taking the power of the Holy Ghost from the church and from the people. It's all put on the platform, it's all put on the preacher, it's all put on the pastor and the whoever it is, but God divided his spirit severally as he wills.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The whole thing about Pentecost is God dividing his spirit severally, pouring out the Holy Ghost upon his people. The Bible says when they were gathered in that upper room, they were all, hallelujah, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And God wants a church where not just a preacher, not just a pastor, not just the evangelist, not just the prophet, but where they're all filled with the Holy Ghost. Each one of us have a right and are vessels that God wants to fill with the Holy Ghost, that God wants to speak through, that God wants to move through. But we've got things so tied down today that that would almost be an impossibility, wouldn't it? But God's going to have a church like that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God's coming for a church like that. The Bible tells us this same Jesus that went from us is going to return. Amen. And if it's the same Jesus coming back, he's coming back for the same church he saw on the day of Pentecost. He's coming back for that same church.
Amen.
With a people that are filled with the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But I don't even believe Samson's last days began there. Even after he's that old, because he could have gone away, repented and got himself away before God and growed his hair back out. But I believe Samson's last days began in verse 20, where it said, and she said, Samson, the Philistines be upon thee. And Samson awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. Here it is. And he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. I believe right there, right at that place, Samson's last days began. When he failed to recognize that God was no longer with him. When he got around Delilah, he could have repented. When that man shaved his hair off, he could have gone away and growed his hair back out. But when he failed to recognize, praise God, when he failed to recognize the Lord wasn't with him. You know, it's a terrible thing when a people or when a church, when the Spirit of God's not amongst the people, the most tragic thing there is when that people aren't aware of it. Here was Samson's problem. He thought all he had to do was go out and shake. Well, that's okay. But you can do all the shaking you want. You can do all the shouting you want, but if the Spirit of God's not there, it's going to do you no good. Right there, Samson's last days began when he failed to recognize that the Spirit of... You know, we talk about a church there that calls itself rich and increased with goods. It doesn't recognize it has a need. It thinks everything's fine, everything's right. Why? Because it's living by the wrong criteria. The church today counts success as numbers. The church today counts success as wealth. The only thing God counts as success is a church that is filled and moving by the Holy Ghost. The only thing that God is looking for today is a church, no matter if it be few, two or three gathered together in my name, Jesus said, but a church that is filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. But today, I preached a message once called The Church That Didn't Need God. Never been a church until this age that didn't need God, that could get along just fine without God. We've got the material we need today to preach the gospel. We've got it. We've got modes of travel today to spread the gospel. And yet the church is in its weakest, most defeated condition that it's ever been. Why? Because it's living by the wrong criteria. It counts those things as success. Look at the early church that they had absolutely nothing. They got nothing what we've got today, but the Bible said they turned the world upside down. Hallelujah. Why? Because they were led by the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah, you can't preach it enough. You can't talk about the Holy Ghost enough. You can't talk about the Spirit of God coming into the church and leading the church and filling the people. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. But when a church fails to recognize, when a people fail to recognize that God's not amongst them, I tell you, that church, the days of that church are numbered. How is it that we came from a church back there at Pentecost to where we're at today? How is it that we came from a church that was full of the Holy Ghost, moved in the power of the Spirit? The Bible said, "The rest just no, there's no man join himself."
Amen.
But how do we get from that to where we are today? There's got to be a reason. Because we failed to recognize the Spirit of God. Back in that church there, when they moved away from the leadership, when they got away from their first love, when they moved away from their first love, when they raised up men that were not sent by the Holy Ghost, when they raised up ministries that God wasn't placing into the church, right then, the days of that church were numbered. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. Samson just thought all he needed to do was to go out and shake. Just to go through the motions. And we can get to a place, friends, where we can get so confident. We're so used to the Holy Ghost blessing us and doing the things He's done for us that we think we just need to go through the motions there. But sometimes we fail to realize the Spirit of God's not there. This is what I was saying to you just a while back there. It's good to recognize and to acknowledge before God there's a need. There's a problem. Because you see, God's Word cannot lie. What God said in the Scriptures is the truth. What He promised in the Word of God must surely come to pass. If there's a problem, we need to go back and realize maybe there's some walls there. Maybe there's something hindering and blocking the flow and the supply of the Holy Ghost. And we want those walls down. Because remember, God put us in a spiritual land and blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Our enemy today, that devil today, that demon of sickness, that demon of depression, that demon of oppression, that demon of fear, that demon of guilt, has no right to stand there. He has no right to be there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
He was Jesus stripped him of his power.
Amen.
And if he's in the church, and if he's in your life, he's got no right to be there. Those walls need to come down. Those things that are there, that are allowing him to be there, get rid of it.
Yes.
Get it out of the way.
Amen.
Just humble. Let's humble ourselves before. Let's be honest with God. That's all God was looking for in Israel. Just acknowledge your sins. Acknowledge there's a problem. I can do something for you. Praise the Lord. What's the commandment of salvation? Repent. First thing is repent. A lot of people want to come to God, but they don't want to repent. They don't want to turn from their sins. They don't want to turn from their old ways. But the commandment of God is to repent.
Yes.
And then you'll be baptized and you'll be filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Now look. What is it that follows Samson's failure? To recognize that God wasn't with him. See, when Samson failed to recognize the Spirit of God, or God had left him, the next thing that happens is he loses his sight. And when the anointing goes from the church, when the Spirit of God goes from the people, or when the Spirit, let me say it like this, when the Spirit of God has been grieved away, because you know God's not going to share His glory with any man. God's not going to compete with anything. God's going to either control His church or run His church, or He's not going to run it at all. It's going to be either God's way or not God's way, or nothing at all. We're either going to do it the way, like we read about that over there in Joshua there. They had to follow God's blueprint. They had to follow God's commandment. Now we're either going to do it God's way or not at all. We're either going to follow God's path or not at all. And when Samson, when the Spirit of God went from Samson, the next thing he loses is his sight. And when that anointing goes from the church, when the Spirit of God goes from the people, when it's been grieved away or pushed out by just man-made tradition or man-made ritual or anything else, when it's been put to one side, the next thing that goes from the people is their spiritual sight. They fail to see. Once that's the Spirit of, the only way you can see the Word of God, the only way you can see the promises of God is for the Holy Ghost to reveal it to you.
Amen.
A preacher can't, a prophet can't reveal the word to you. A preacher can't reveal the word to you. It's the job of the Holy Spirit.
Yes,
you know, you hear expressions like, "Oh, the prophet revealed the word." No, he didn't. Prophets bring the word, they don't reveal the word. There's only one revealer of the word, and that's the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Jesus said, "No man knows the Father save the Son, no man knows the Son save the Father, and he to whom the Son will reveal him." It's the job of the Holy Ghost. No ministry can reveal the word. It's the job of the Holy Spirit to do that. You look at the ministry of Elijah. What was the ministry of Elijah to do? It was to identify God. Praise the Lord. Over in the Old Testament, there, that Elijah, that ministry came along and identified God above us. Because God dwelt above us in the pillar of fire. And the ministry of Elijah identified that. Over in the New Testament, he came through, that anointing came on a man called John the Baptist. Was sent to what? To identify Jesus Christ, not reveal him. Jesus Christ was there to reveal himself. Hallelujah. Turned to those disciples and said, "Who do men say that I am?"
Yes, amen.
Now watch, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, Peter, Simon.
Yes.
John didn't reveal it to you. No prophet revealed to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Yes. Hallelujah. All John was there is to identify him. Praise the Lord. But Jesus Christ revealed the Father. Hallelujah. Glory. And that same ministry comes into the church in these last days. It don't reveal the Word. It identifies the Word. But it's the that's why today, without the Holy Ghost, how are you going to see this truth? That's why today, the message of the church should be repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. You'll receive the one that takes that Word and reveals it to you. You'll receive the one that takes the Scriptures and opens them out to you. But they cannot be revealed by anything other than Jesus Christ. Anything other than the Holy Ghost. When He is come.
Yes, amen.
When He is come. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He will reveal all things to you. Prophets identify God. But the Holy Ghost reveals Him. Amen. That same anointing comes into the church in this day. To identify. Now in the Old Testament it was identifying God that dwelt above us. In the New Testament, that anointing was identifying God dwelling with us. That's why the Bible said John did no miracles. Didn't have to. That word was right there. What was John's commission? Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit of God descending and remaining. He's the one that's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. That's what John was told to go and preach. That was what John was told to go and identify. Nothing else. Just a point to the one that was going to baptize with the Holy Ghost and fire. Praise the Lord. Now if that's what it did back there, and that same anointing comes into the church, it's got to do the same thing.
Yes.
It's got to identify the one, hallelujah,
yes,
that is going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. For when the Spirit of truth is come, He will reveal to you what you have need to know. He'll bring you into all truth. But it's the job of the Holy Ghost to do that. Not the job of a prophet, not the job of any a preacher can preach. But it takes the Spirit of God to take that word.
Amen.
And reveal it to you.
Yes.
And show you these things. Amen.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. So after the Spirit of God's gone from Samson, the next thing that strikes him is those Philistines come along and they poke out his eyes. And now he's under another leadership. You see, when the church loses that leadership, when the church gets away, or when the church gets away from the Holy Ghost leading the church, when the church gets away from God dividing separately as He wills, when the church gets away from God giving apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers, and starts to send them themselves, we're moving away from the Spirit of God. The next thing that's going to go is your sight. You're not going to be able to see anymore. That's what happened with Samson. When he got away from the Lord, his sight went, he couldn't see. Now he's got another leadership. Now he's got another leadership. He's being led by the Philistines. He's being led by the very thing he was raised up to destroy and defeat. Now he's being led by them. Now he's being controlled by them. Now he's an object of ridicule. But there's been a promise go forth. Hallelujah. And God will always keep His word. Blessed be the name. When God says anything, it's coming to pass. Oh God, give us a Holy Ghost shaking. God, give us a Holy Ghost shaking. Wake your people up, Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Bible says in verse 21, but the Philistines took him and put his eyes out and brought him down to Gaza. Isn't it amazing that Gaza is always mentioned with defeat in the Bible? We read about it in the book of Judges when the Midianites came over into the land there, invaded the land, even unto Gaza. We read about it here when Samson got his defeat there. You see, that's what Israel in these last days in the natural gave back to the enemy. You see the type there. When you give ground back to the enemy, when you give ground back to the enemy, we'll wind up just the same way as Samson. The enemy won't say, oh, that's fine, we can make peace. You'll just come for a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. You give him ground in your life, he's not going to be happy with that. He's going to come back for something else.
Right.
We don't give ground to the enemy. Hallelujah.
We,
God didn't call His people to give ground away. God called His people to possess ground. Hallelujah. God called His people to possess the land. My Bible tells me that God gave Gaza to to Israel.
Yes.
Just like he gave the Holy Ghost to the church.
Hallelujah.
And no man has a right to come along and say, we're going to hand that back. We're going to give that back. We don't need that anymore. We don't need the gift of tongues in the church anymore because God gave us a prophet. We don't need the gift of prophecy in the church anymore because we've got a fivefold ministry. But God sent it into the church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And no man has a right to give it away. No people have a right to give it away. That's our possession. That's our inheritance. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. And God today is bringing his church back to walk in a possession, to walk in an inheritance, to walk, hallelujah, excuse me for shouting, but to walk in what God has given to his people. And listen, we'll never have victory until we possess the land. Israel will never have peace until she possesses that land that God gave her. I don't care how much politics there is, it won't make a bit of difference. Until she possesses that land, there's going to be no peace. And until the church of Jesus Christ walks in the possession that was purchased for us at Calvary.
Yes.
What possession? The possession that God sent to them on the day of Pentecost. Until we walk in that possession, until we go back to that possession, until that becomes our absolute, there'll never be peace in the church. There'll never be harmony in the church. There'll never be a church moving the way God intended it to move until we come back to God's blueprint. God's way of doing it. God's way of moving it. That church was, you know, Brother Mass made a statement there. He said they moved by the Holy Ghost, so they didn't move at all. It was either the Spirit of God moving them or they just kept still. Well, we're a long way short of that, church.
Amen.
We're a long way short of what the church was at the beginning, but God's going to have a church like that.
Amen.
God's going to have a people like that that are going to move as the Holy Ghost moves them. That's the Bible, as we read about Samson there, as he over there between the camp of Dan and Eshel, as he walked through, the Spirit of God began to move him. God wants a church where the Spirit of God begins to move the church. She's not moved by anything, not by her own means, not by financial means, not by material means, not by physical means, but the church that is moved by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. But the Philistines got a hold of Samson and took him down to Gaza. Notice what the Bible says. And they brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. I tell you, when we get away from the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit of God leaves a people, moves away from a people, or is grieved away from a people, or we lay aside the leadership of the Holy Ghost, and we'll just take man's way of doing something, I tell you, life is a grind.
Yes.
It's a grind. Just like Samson. It's a grind. Samson was bound with those fetters of brass. And his life and his days, he'd seen great victories, he'd seen great moves of God. He'd seen great anointings, he'd been under great anointings. But now, the Lord's just departed from him. And here he is in the prison house, grinding, day after day after day. And if the Spirit of, take the Spirit of God out of anything, I tell you, brother, if you take the Spirit of God out of it, it's just death. It's a grind. You can flog it as much as you want, but it's just a grind. Without the Holy Ghost, it is death. Nothing more than death. Samson in the prison house, day after day after day, just an object of mockery, an object of ridicule. He'd become a joke. And I tell you, I don't say this to be a joke, but when the Holy Ghost, get away from the Spirit of God, and the church is nothing more than a joke. That's all it is. It's a joke. It's a laugh. We wonder why the world makes fun of it. It's brought it upon itself. It's brought its own reproach upon itself. Because it got away from God's way of doing it. It moved away from the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. That early church, the Bible said, of the rest, durst no man join themselves. Well, today you've got all kinds around it. But it was a grind. But I like the scripture. How be it? Verse 22. I'm talking about the last days of Samson. You see, no matter how bad things get, church, no matter how desperate things get, hallelujah, I believe there's always a way back. You know, we talk about the church being down many, many times, and it's very, very true. The church can get down many times, but it will never go out. Praise the Lord. Samson was down, but he wasn't out. Hallelujah. Howbeit, the hairs of his head began to grow again. After that enemy had come in there and shaved him of his power, God had to let Samson go into a prison house. God had to put Samson into a place in order to bring Samson back. Remember, there had been a promise to go forth and with an angel with a message there that he was going to be a Nazarite until the day of his death. Now what God says, God will fulfill. Now Samson backslid on that. He defied that many times. But let me tell you something. God had said, now that wasn't a preacher's opinion. That wasn't a minister's opinion. That was what God had said. He was going to be a Nazarite, hallelujah, till the day of his death. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So God had to put him over there in a prison house. I can believe during that time down there in the prison house, hearing the mockery, hearing the laughter, hearing the reproach that he was having to suffer. But I believe even then, God was still working on Samson. I believe even then the Spirit of God was still dealing with Samson, because God had made a promise that he was going to be a Nazarite till the day of his death. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Samson in that prison house, round and around and around, but I believe the Spirit of God will begin to bring to Samson's mind the great victories of the past. Samson, don't you remember back there when the Spirit of God came upon you mighty and you slew that lion? Hallelujah. God was working with Samson. God was beginning to move on Samson. God, give us a church today where the Spirit of God begins to move on his people. When the Spirit of God begins to bring back to the minds of the church, when the Holy Ghost begins to bring back to the minds of the people, that there's a Holy Ghost, there's a Spirit, there's a power in the church.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Glory.
Yes.
Don't you remember Samson? That anointing that came upon you and you slew that lion. Don't you remember Samson when your own brethren gave you over to the enemy? When they wanted to come up and bind you because they got so used to living with the enemy that they didn't want to be free anymore. Don't you remember when they took you down there to Ramathlehi and they mocked you? You know, one thing about Samson that brought the anointing down was when the enemy shouted. One thing that brought the anointing now with Samson was when that lion roared. Hallelujah. Was when that lion roared. My Bible tells me the devil's going around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. But God's going to have a church. Hallelujah. God's going to have a people. Praise the Lord. One of these days he's going to roar. And he's going to bring down the anointing of the Holy Ghost. One of these days he's going to roar on the church. And the Spirit of the Lord is going to come mightily upon the people of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Don't you remember Samson? God began to deal with Samson and bring him. You see, before God ever deals with his church, he has to deal with that. I've always said before there can be a healing of the, there's got to be a healing of the body, there's got to be a healing of the mind. And I believe the greatest need in the church today is for a healing of the mind. A spiritual deliverance of the chains of the mind. Where Satan got the people bound today is in the mind. As Brother Brown preached the message, the greatest battle ever fought is in the mind. And there's a great oppression, there's a great attack today. But the Spirit of God began to work on Samson and take him back to the times when that anointing came. You see, God will always take you back to the Holy Spirit. God will always point you back to the Holy Ghost. We have a message today pointing us back where? Pentecost. Back to when the Holy Ghost was poured out. You see, God will always take you back to the Holy Spirit because he knows that that's how the church moves. He knows that that's how the church is kept. That's how the church operates, is by the Holy Ghost. And the Spirit of God was taking Samson back to the time that the Spirit of God began to move him there. Back in the past, back in those past times there. And I believe Samson began to just, his mind began to turn back to God. During that time he's turning back to God, God's been growing a little bit of that power out again. Hallelujah.
Yes.
He might have been shaved down, but God's beginning to grow a little bit of that power out. You know, the church has moved in its own righteousness so much. The church has moved in its own power, its own holiness. But God's going to have a people. It's going to be the righteousness of God. It's going to be the holiness of God. It's going to be the power of God. It's not going to be their own circumstances or their own power. It's going to be his. So when God's dealing with Samson there, his hair begins to grow out. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I don't even know if Samson was aware of it. But I believe Samson's mind once again would have turned to God. You see, God had to allow the enemy to poke his eyes out that he could see the right things, because he was always looking at the wrong things. He was always looking in the wrong places. So God just allowed the enemy to poke his eyes out there. Now he's focused on the right thing. Now he's looking at the right thing. You see, you don't need a natural eye to see those things. You need the eye of God. A spiritual eye to see the things of the Spirit. We don't need a natural ear to hear the things of God today. We need a spiritual ear today to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So Samson begins to think back on the great things of God. And God begins to deal with him. Hallelujah. Oh, let that be the church today. Let that be the people of... Let that be you today. Let that be me today. May the Spirit of God take us back. May the Holy Ghost take us to that place. Yes. Where the Spirit of... That's what the message is all about.
Amen.
You talk about an end time message. What's it to do? It's to take you back to the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
It's to take you back to when the Spirit of God moved the church. God was... Oh, hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord's name. The Spirit of God was taking Samson back to the place where the Holy Ghost moved him. And the Spirit of God in the church today is taking the church back to the place where it was led by the Holy Ghost, where it was moved by the Holy Ghost, kept by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord's name.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, when Samson had learned his lesson, he's ready to come out of the prison house. Praise the Lord. But God was going to leave him there just as long as it took. And God will leave you there. He'll leave me there just as long as it takes to get you back to the Holy Ghost. To get you back to the Spirit of God. To get you back to God's way of doing it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When Samson learned his lesson, now what's he got to do? All he's got to do is to get in his right place. All he's got to do is to find his position. Samson's problem started when he got out of his place. That is exactly what happened with the church. The church's problem started the day when she got out of her place. When we get out of our place, that's when the trouble's going to come. But God's been dealing with Samson. And I believe God's been dealing with the church today. It may not be very many. It might be a few people. But God's going to have a people. Hallelujah. God's going to have a people. Where they're going to just say, Lord, get me in the right place. Get me in the place you want me to be. Get me in the position that you want me to be. Help me to be just what you want me to be, Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, it took a little boy to help him. But praise God. God can use anything to get you to be where he wants you to be.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. God, you know, I don't limit God to speaking to me through any certain channel. God can speak to me through who he wants to speak. God can speak to me through anyone or anybody he wants to use or anything he wants to use. I just pray, Lord, help me to receive what you're saying.
Amen.
I don't limit God to all God's got. It couldn't be God because it didn't come through this work or it didn't go to this church or this channel. God can use anything. God can speak through a donkey. Hallelujah. God can speak through stones. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God can take a raven and feed a prophet. God can use what he wants. Hallelujah. God, help me to receive it in your hand. Praise the Lord. We never want to get to a place where, Lord, if it don't come through this channel or it doesn't come through that channel, I'm not going to receive it. Lord, any way you want to send it, I want to receive it. And God, help me to receive it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, God's got a way of humbling his church. Oh, I'm thinking of a man called Naaman. Praise the Lord. Back there in those days, that great man, that great leader, had great victories. The Lord used him in mighty ways, but the Bible said he was a leper. Didn't matter what he'd done, hallelujah. Didn't matter the great victories he had, the great victories he'd seen, he's a leper.
Yes.
I don't care what we had or what we've done, it's what we are.
Yes.
He was a leper. That great leader, that great man, respected not by the king, but God sent a little girl to preach a message to him. Hallelujah. Oh, that would have been humbling.
Yeah.
But that was God's provided way.
Amen.
You better get back over there, Naaman. You better get to the waters of the Jordan, Naaman. Praise the Lord. That would have been a hard message to swallow. Or he could have received it from a prime minister. He could have received it from a great potentate or a king or a great leader. But God sent him a message to a little girl. God gave him a message to a little girl. You know, God just knows how to deal with us. God knows knows how to speak with us. God knows how to strip us down. Hallelujah. God knows how to break us down. Because it's not about, like I said last night, it's not about this church. It's about Him. Hallelujah. God's not interested in your reputation. God's not interested in your standing. It's about God's glory.
Amen.
It's about His power. His glory. I'm sick and tired of celebrity preachers.
Yes, amen.
It ain't about a preacher anyway. It's not about a ministry anyway. It's about God dividing separately as He wills. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Praise be to God. So God just takes a little boy. Now here's that great man. Slayed 1,000 men. But God gives him a little boy. God sends him a little boy. Now all Samson's got to do, hallelujah, after God's move and after God's work and after the Spirit of God has took him back. See, only the Spirit of God can take you back. Only the Holy Spirit can take you back to where you should have been at the first place. Oh, praise the Lord, there's a message there, church. Only the Holy Spirit can take you back to where you should have been at the first place. That's why God put Samson in the prison house. So he could hear what the Spirit was saying to him. That's sometimes why God allows the things to come your way and to come my way. They can get you to hear what the Spirit is saying to us. Praise the Lord. Samson says to that little boy, just get me between those two pillars. Hallelujah. Just get me in the right place. Praise the Lord. Just get me where I should be. Hallelujah. I'm in a pitiful condition, but oh, if you can just get me where I ought to be. Hallelujah. Oh, church, isn't that the prayer of your people? Just, Lord, get me to where you want me to be. Get me to the place, Lord, that you want me to stand. Hallelujah. Get me between those two pillars. Those Olden Testament and New Testament.
Yes.
Get me in the middle of that word. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Get me in the center of that word. Not a little bit to the left or a little bit to the right, but right just in the middle. So I can just stretch forth my hands on those two pillars. On that Old Testament and on that New Testament there. Because all the promises of God, all the promises of God are yea and amen in Him. Just get me to that place. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Get me to that place. That little boy just leads him on there. And puts him between those two pillars. Now he's in the right place. He's in the right time. He's done his repenting. He's acknowledged he was wrong. But God's a God of mercy. And Samson bows his head and prays. It's not a long prayer. It's not a fancy prayer. You know, church, we sometimes come to a place where all we can say is, Lord, I want you to help me. Lord, I want you to just help me. When you've prayed every word you can think of praying, sometimes we come to a place where all we can say is, Lord, help. Just help me. But you know something? God heard that prayer. Hallelujah. Because it was a prayer of a sincere heart. It was a prayer of a repentant heart. It was a prayer of a man that the Spirit of God had drawn back. Hallelujah. They're still making fun. It's still a big joke to the Philistines. It's a big laugh. But Samson said, Lord, hallelujah, Lord. He prayed a prayer that each one of you can pray. He prayed a prayer that even the smallest child can pray. Lord, I want you to remember me. I want you to remember me. Hallelujah. We come before God today and say, Lord, I want you to remember your promise. I want you to remember what's written in your word. You're a God that remembers, Lord. You don't forget, Lord. Lord, remember me this once. The Bible tells us that Samson leaned with all his might on those two pillars. And the walls of that heathen temple came crashing down to the ground. And he slayed more in his death. You want to talk about a comeback? You want to talk about the last days of Samson? Hallelujah! He slayed more in his death than his entire life. Hallelujah! No wonder Balaam said, Lord, let me die the death of the righteous and let my last end be like his. Samson died in the victory. Samson died with a tremendous comeback. Hallelujah, because the Spirit of God brought Samson back. And church, if we're ever going to die, if we're ever going to have a victory in the church, it'll be the Spirit of God that brings us back. It'll be the Holy Ghost that turns us today. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name. It'll be a work of the Spirit that turns our hearts. It'll be a work of the Spirit that turns our minds. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He slew more at his death than his entire life. That's the victory. That's a comeback. Hallelujah. The Bible says, let's close on saying this. His brethren came. Look at verse 31. Then his brethren, all the house of his father, came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtahol in the burying place of Manoah his father. And he judged Israel 20 years. His brethren took him back to the place where the Spirit of God moved him at the first. Hallelujah. The very place where the Holy Ghost began to move Samson was where he was buried. Blessed be all. Let the Spirit, let the Lord take his church back.
Yes.
Let the Lord take his church back.
Yes.
To the place, to the time when the Spirit of the Lord began to move the church. When the Spirit of the Lord began to lead the church. Hallelujah. Before man got a hold of it, before man got in and controlled it. Hallelujah. He died where the Holy Ghost moved him at the beginning. Lord, take me back. Take me back to the place where the Spirit of God moved us at the first. That's why we have a message today. Back to where the Holy Ghost. That's what Malachi 4:6 is all about. He shall turn the hearts of the children to their fathers. Well, who were the fathers? They were a church that were filled with the Holy Ghost. You ever think about that? He shall turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. Why would you want to be turned to a bunch of men? Why would you want to be... Why would the word say that? Why would we want to be turned to a bunch of men? It wasn't about those men. It was about Christ in those men, like we said last night. Like Peter, silver and gold I haven't got any, but such as I have. We're turned back to a bunch of men. Peter stood there and denied him. James and John wanted to be something in the kingdom of God. It's not the men. It's what was in those men. That's what's been identified today. Oh, Holy Ghost, take us back to that place. Oh, Holy... Brother, God will take his church to that... He can't take you anywhere else. He can't take you anywhere else. But before he gets us there, maybe he'll have to put us in prison. Until we get to realize and understand it's the Holy Spirit that leads the church. It's the Holy Ghost that moves the church. It's the Holy Ghost that divides separately as he wills. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's pray, church. Shall we? I don't need to preach any further. Amen. The last days of Samson. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, you called to your church today. You called to your people today to go back. To go back. Lord, just like it was with Samson. When the Spirit of the Lord began to move the church. When the Spirit of the Lord began to lead the church. Lord, that was back there in Pentecost. And that's what your church is being called back to today. Oh, Father, may our hearts and our minds be open. Lord, I ask tonight that, Father, God, you would save to the uttermost. If there are people here tonight that Jesus have just sat under a church and listened to sermons and just... Lord, but really have never known the Savior. I ask tonight that God, they will just humble themselves and call upon your name tonight. Father, that you'll save the souls of those that don't know you, Lord. But that, Father, you'll and those that even think they know you, Lord. But Lord, I pray, God, they will experience a real, true conversion and be filled with that Holy Ghost. Lord, there's something wrong today. There's something wrong today.
there's so much Holy Ghost, then why is there so little power? Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I pray, even as it was with Samson, turn our hearts, turn our minds, Lord, back to the place, Lord, back to the time when the Holy Ghost began to move us, where it moved your church, where it led your church, where it controlled your church, Lord. Father, take these words which have been spoken tonight, maybe, Lord, a little mixed up, but Lord, I pray that by the Holy Ghost you'll make it clear to the hearts of the people what I was meaning to say, Lord. Father, I pray, if I've said anything, Lord, that would have been hurt somebody, I wouldn't have meant to do that, Lord. And I pray, God, Lord, it wouldn't be accepted like or received like that, but they'll know, Lord. I'm trying to say, Lord, help us to get back to the Holy Spirit. Back to that power. Back to the Holy Ghost moving the church. Even as it did, Lord. Because, Father, that is your message, Lord. That is your promise today. Of Malachi 4:6. He shall turn the hearts of the children to their fathers. Oh God, I realize today that the hour is late. Lord, we don't know how much longer we've got. But I pray, Father, Lord, may we have soft hearts. May we have an ear to hear what the Spirit's saying, Lord. And to be open, Lord, to the dealing of the Holy Ghost in our life, Lord. How you're dealing with us, how you're speaking to us, Lord. What you're trying to show us today. May we be able to humble ourselves, Lord. May we be able to listen, Lord. Lord, may we be able to be open to what you're saying, Lord, and what the Spirit would say. Granted, I pray tonight, Lord, in this room, that if there be any here, Lord, that have not been filled with the Holy Spirit, that tonight, Father, you would fill them with the Holy Ghost. May they receive, Lord, a fresh baptism of the Spirit of God. I pray even for those tonight who have received the Holy Ghost, myself included. But I'm asking tonight, Father, for a refilling, Lord. Lord, for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Lord, in your people, in your church. For Lord, it's not difficult to pray that because you promised it, Lord. Lord, will be a refilling of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, we so much need it. We so much need it. So Father, I pray, grant Lord that you'll send it. Heal every disease and sickness if there be any in anybody, Lord. Those who are not able to get here through sickness or ill health, Lord, I pray right now that the Holy Spirit would go to them, Lord, and heal their bodies, Lord. Raise them up, Lord. When they wake up tomorrow, Lord, let them wake up fresh and healthy and well in the name of Jesus. So, Father, I pray, have your way in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgive us our trespasses, Lord, as we forgive them who trespass against us. Cleanse our hearts, Lord, our minds also, Lord. Take these bodies, Father. Take these bodies in this hour, in this time, in this day. Please use them, Lord. Lord, just let there come forth a real move of the Holy Spirit. Over here in Barnbridge, Lord, even back over in England, in Newcastle, Lord, in the churches around England, or the churches all over, Lord. There's such a great need, Father. Help us to be like Samson, Lord, for our minds to turn back to the time, for our minds, Lord, to go back to the place when the Spirit of God began to move the church, when the Holy Spirit began to move the people. Grant it, I pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let the fire fall. Let the fire fall. Let the fire from heaven fall. We are waiting and expecting. Now in faith, dear Lord, we call. Let the fire fall. Let the fire fall. On thy promise we depend. From the fire fall.
They don't know what to do. Let me tell you something. Anything without emotion is dead. Don't be afraid of emotion. Don't be afraid of the Holy Ghost coming around you. Just yield to the Holy Spirit. So many people just sit through it. They don't allow God to deal with them. They don't allow God to move upon them. You see, friends, it's a two-way thing. You've got to be open to the Holy Spirit. You've got to say, Lord, I'm opening my heart. You've got to say, Lord, I want you to come in. He's not going to push himself. He's not going to put... You see, oh, we need to come back to some good old-fashioned Pentecostal preaching, church. We need to get back some good old-fashioned glory preaching. Praise the Lord. Somebody said, that's just emotion. I tell you, friends, the church needs to get a bit of emotion back into it. Pray for that old story, brother. I told that old turtle snapper. Remember, he cut his head off there. His brother leaned across, poked him with a stick. The thing kept biting. He said, "Hey, Seth, why you killed this thing?" He said, "Yeah, I severed its head. It's dead." He said, "Well, he don't know it." And that's the trouble today with the church, when the emotion's gone out of it, when the power's gone out of it. Yes. It's dead. Yes. And it doesn't know it. Hallelujah. We need the Holy Ghost to stir our hearts back to that faith that was once delivered. Brother, if it moved them that way, and it's the same Holy Ghost that's coming on you, it's going to move you the same way. It's going to move me the same way. Hallelujah. But we got too dignified in the church today, friends. We've got too dignified. We got too much church order. We're frightened of getting out of order. Brother, when you're praising God, you won't be out of order. When you're worshiping God, you won't be out of order. Hallelujah. Let the fire fall. Let the fire fall.